Our second lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, which will serve as our sermon text this morning. Certainly, it was fitting for God, the one for whom and through whom everything exists, in leading many sons to glory, to bring the author of their salvation to his goal through sufferings. For he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified all have one Father. For that reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am and the children God has given me. Therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he also shared the same flesh and blood, so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For surely he was not concerned with helping angels, but with helping Abraham's offspring. For this reason, he had to become like his brothers in every way, in order that he would be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, so that he could pay for the sins of the people. Indeed, because he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again those words of our second lesson from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Let me just read verse 12 again at this time. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation I will sing your praise. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God speaks, and his voice is loud. Remember that? That was the sermon theme for this Christmas day this last week. If you haven't had a chance to hear that message, or if you need a reminder, a refresher of that word, I invite you to listen to that again from Hebrews chapter 1. It was actually the text appointed there, where God speaks, and his voice is different when he speaks through his Son than any other messenger or any other angel. Jesus is greater than all the angels, he makes the point. The text that's appointed for us today in the first Sunday after Christmas follows right along after that, not in Hebrews chapter 1, but in Hebrews chapter 2. God speaks and his voice is loud, and we do well to listen to that voice again and again to hear what God has to say, because God has more to say. He reminds us that it wasn't angels that he came down to save here in this text for today. It was you. His children. It was you, Christ's brothers and sisters. What an important thing it is to listen and to learn from him again and again. He has so much to say to us with that loud voice. But because we fail to do that again and again, this is why Jesus came. And where we failed, we see today that Jesus fulfilled that will of God. So we can rejoice and praise God today for his salvation in Jesus Christ. Christ, our substitute, obeyed God's holy will. He learned to know God, and then he taught others to know God too. When we talk about Jesus' work of salvation, we often focus on the biggest event of all. That's what that magnificent window depicts, right? That's Jesus in his passive obedience. You know, those beautiful statements that we make in the Apostles' Creed? He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. All of those things were things that were done to Jesus, his passive obedience. the work of Christ our Savior as our substitute, taking our place and making the perfect sacrifice for us as our Savior. And in fact, our text expresses that truth today too in Hebrews chapter 2, because he was the perfect high priest. As verse 17 tells us, the merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God so that he could pay for the sins of the people. Yes, he had to suffer and die. He had to be flesh and blood so that he could shed his blood on the cross to take away all of our sins. So verse 14 of our text expresses that. Therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he also shared the same flesh and blood, so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power over death, that is, the devil. Yes, Jesus died on the cross as our substitute to make the payment for all of our sins. But that's not the only emphasis of the scripture readings for today. In fact, all of the scripture readings perhaps direct us in a different way, not so much to Christ's passive obedience, but just as much to his active obedience. Jesus didn't just come in the flesh to suffer and die. Jesus came in the flesh to live. And that's going to be our focus for today too. Not Jesus' passive obedience that he died to take those sins away, but his active obedience that he lived the perfect life in our place to fulfill God's holy will. And all of this so that his righteous life could be counted to his brothers and sisters through faith in him. So what did Jesus do to obey God's will? Well, first of all, he learned to know God. And what a mystery that statement itself is, because he is God who came in the flesh. And yet, he learned to know God. Look at the way that he learned to know God. Look at that boy Jesus in the temple courts. Every second of every day of his entire life, he was mindful of the work, the business of his heavenly Father. And that was not just the culmination of that business, to suffer and die for the sins of the world, but also the fulfillment of every law and command that God had given to man to fulfill in his life, a life which extended from his birth until his death, keeping every law perfectly for us. Particularly today, we consider God's will in the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. Well, this command isn't just about the Sabbath day, to not work on Saturday, to take a time of rest. No, it's so much more. It's exactly what Jesus was doing in that gospel lesson. Not just for one day out of the week, for 3 days straight, he spent his time sitting in the temple courts, hearing God's word, learning to know God, growing in his wisdom and understanding about God. It used to be customary for people to worship on consecutive days after Christmas. And we celebrate feast days. Perhaps you recognize December 26th as the Feast of St. Stephen, and the 27th as the Feast of the Apostle John, and the 28th of the Feast of the Holy Innocents. To continue to worship day after day after day. Some of us wonder if having different services on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, and then another service on the Sunday after Christmas might be just a little bit too much. But that's what Jesus was doing, spending day after day after day hearing God's word and learning to know God better. Our text in Hebrews chapter 2 speaks about this too. In fact, it quotes two different passages in the Old Testament. One from Psalms, Psalm 22, and another from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 8. And it's very interesting, of course, Psalm 22 is that well-known psalm that speaks so vividly of Jesus' suffering, of God forsaking him when he died on the cross. But here in the verse that is quoted in the Hebrews, chapter 22, Psalm 22, verse 22, it expresses the active obedience of Christ. It says, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation, I will sing your praise. What does that say? Jesus went to church. Jesus sang the praises of God. Jesus learned to know God. And he did it within that congregation, the gathering of believers. And look at what happened for him while he was there. He grew. He learned. He was blessed by that word of God. His faith was strengthened. Quoting that second passage from Isaiah chapter 8, I will trust in him. Yes, through his encounter with the Word of God, Jesus grew in his understanding and in his relationship with the Heavenly Father, and he was strengthened in his faith. He became stronger in his trust in his Heavenly Father through the Word of God. He experienced growth in and among his brothers, the congregation of believers. As Hebrews went on to say, here I am, and the children God has given me. Together with fellow believers, Jesus heard God's word and grew to know God better. Friends, that's God's holy will for you, too. To gather in God's house. To love that dwelling place in the courts of the Lord, as the psalmist sings in Psalm 84. How I love your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Is that always our attitude when we go to church, though? Or are we rather sometimes fainting because we're thinking, oh, I have to go worship again? It becomes not something that we delight and desire to do, but rather something that is something we have to check off as a to-do list. And even when we're here in God's house, so often it's with an attitude, I know it already. What more is there for me to learn? If that would be true of anybody at all, it would surely be true about the Holy Son of God. And yet he went to God's house to learn. How sad that so often we don't have that same attitude. God, forgive us for the times when we're callous about your word. For the times that we behave like we have nothing more to learn, that we know it all perfectly already, or at least well enough to not have to go regularly, weekly, continuing to be fed. Forgive us when we despise preaching and your word, Lord. What a blessing it is that Christ came not as our example, but as our substitute, also specifically, especially in his active obedience to fulfill God's holy will for us in our place as he learned to know God. Even as it was foretold about him prophetically in the Old Testament scriptures, I will trust in him. He fought that temptation to despise God's word. He overcame that temptation again and again in his life, constantly throughout his life, the challenge to overlook that business of God, growth in faith through the Word. No, Jesus was ever growing, ever learning. Jesus was a faithful student of God's Word every moment of every day of his life as our substitute. He learned to know God. Friends, may we follow that lead of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we take that simple attitude in the simple children's song, let me learn of Jesus. He is kind to me. Once he died to save me, nailed upon the tree. Let me think of Jesus. He is full of love, looking down from heaven, from his throne above. That's why we're blessed to have Jesus, our Savior. Because he didn't just learn about God. Also, in his active obedience as our substitute, he perfectly taught others to know God too. You see, not only was Jesus' time in the temple courts opportunities for him to learn and to grow, they were opportunities for him, with the wisdom and knowledge with which God, the Heavenly Father, had graced him, to use that to teach others to know God too. Again, those passages quoted by the writer to the Hebrews tells us, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation, I will sing your praise. See, Jesus wasn't alone when he was in the temple courts to learn. Others were there too. And how blessed they were to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from the questions he asked, from the discussions of the master teacher himself. That's Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior, declaring God's name to his brothers. He spoke of God to those who would believe and know God. And what is that name of God which he declared to his brothers? Well, the name of God is everything that God tells us about himself in his word. When Jesus declared God's name, when we declare God's name, we're teaching all about who God is and what he's done to save us. It's declaring God's name when we speak about God's work of creation, that he gave me life and breath and everything on this world that I have and love, so that I can call him Father as he is my creator. And it's declaring God's name when we speak about his work of redemption, that he entered into our world to be that perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world, that he died to buy us back from the wicked foe who had the power of death, the devil. And he destroyed that one's work by his work for us about his Father's business. We declare God's name when we speak about sanctification, how the Holy Spirit sets us apart through faith in Jesus as we hear and learn about God. This is what Jesus was doing when it says, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation, I will sing your praise. It's sad when we fail to realize and rejoice in the benefit of corporate worship. How easy it is for us to fall into that habit, to worship perhaps virtually, to tune in online, to sit on the couch and listen as if we're the only ones benefiting from the encounter with the Word. When we're not gathered together with fellow believers, it's absolutely true that we might be fed through the Word of God, but no one else is there to hear that proclamation that you make. No one else is being encouraged by your declaring God's name to your brothers and sisters. No one else can hear you singing the praises of God in the assembly. But your brothers and sisters in the faith need you too. Your brothers and sisters in the faith are encouraged when you are here. And sadly, your brothers and sisters in faith can just as easily be far more discouraged when you're absent. God, forgive us for failing to see how important that part of your holy will there is in the congregation, for me, in the assembly of brothers and sisters gathering together to encourage one another, to proclaim, to declare that name, to sing those praises of God together. But look, see Jesus. Hear his amazing word again to you today. In his perfect obedience of his Father's will, he took the time to assemble, to congregate, to gather, so that he too could proclaim God's name to others. And see how blessed those others were. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Luke 2 tells us about those who were there with Jesus in that temple that day. And he didn't just do that as a teacher for the few gathered. He did that perfectly as a substitute in your place, to fulfill God's holy will where you so many times have failed, so that his perfect righteousness as your faithful congregant and member of a body of believers could be given to you as a gift to your credit. This is your Jesus, who came in the flesh. This is your Jesus who came so that he could suffer like you. Who came to suffer like you so that he could help you in your temptations. May God continue to strengthen you through Jesus Christ. May he inspire you also to obey God's holy will, to continue to know, to learn to know God better, and also to gather together so that you can teach others to know God better too. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.